Caleb Williams. Went to USC in Oklahoma. Morris down still. Fight on.
Yeah.
And my signing bonus is 25.5.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That is one of the clips that you'll be hearing on Hard Knocks once it makes its debut on Max. I guess we're not calling it HBO Max anymore, but I don't know. I still call the X Twitter pretty frequently. Final hour, I'm with you here up until midnight on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Just a few hours away from Mullion Haw, who will continue broadcasting live from the Pro Football Hall of Fame tomorrow from 5:30 to 10 a.m. They'll have exclusive interviews with special guests reacting to the Hall of Fame game and much more. It's all presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. One of those special guests will be Devin Hester himself. He will be joining Mullion Haw during the show tomorrow. So that is a lot to look forward to. I was able to check out a lot of the show this morning as Mullion Haw were talking to a variety of luminaries, different Hall of Famers, past and deeper into the past, and previewing what's to come for this season for some of the Bears greats on their way into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Devin Hester, one of the most exciting players in NFL history. Julius Peppers, one of the physical dynamos that this league has ever seen at any position, especially as a defensive lineman, and a dynamo of a personality, a dynamo of a physical specimen, a dynamo of a human who was going through his fight with ALS. Steve Mongo McMichael, of course, on his way into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, most notably in his career with the Bears as well. And looking forward to hearing Mullion Haw with Devin Hester tomorrow. One of the things they were talking about as it related to Devin Hester was the sort of the growth, the enhancement of his personality over the years, and being a bit of a spokesperson in a way that perhaps he wasn't back in the day as a young, somewhat understated football player verbally, but his game was never understated. So a lot to look forward to with Mullion Haw live from Canton tomorrow morning. I mentioned the stadium itself being at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. It's a great venue, really cool place to be. I'm actually going to be there later this month for the Black College Hall of Fame Classic, as I've been able to call that game the last couple of years for Westwood One, and to be at that stadium is truly an honor to be able to do that game. So I'm going to have my first Big Ten game of the season on August 31st, and I guess it technically won't be later this month. It'll be a month from today. It'll be next month when I call the Black College Hall of Fame Classic. That's going to be between Virginia State and Belmont College. So looking forward to that game and just what that's going to represent when I get to be out there for that. But Matt Eberflus, even though the game was not completed in its entirety, they didn't even get through three quarters of the Hall of Fame game tonight, but they did get the opportunity to hear from the Bears head coach. Matt Eberflus addressed the collective media after the game tonight, and he was talking about a lot of what was seen on the field, a lot of what was anticipated, but the first of four opportunities that Coach Eberflus will have to lead the Bears out on the field during the preseason. Brett Rypien ends up being 11 out of 15, 166 yards, three touchdowns. Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson each got some good touches of the football, some nice carries out there, and of course, Colin Johnson with two touchdown grabs in the game as well in his three grabs. So after the game, Coach Flus addressed the collective media.
Given the number of quarterbacks last year and the year before who were forced to start games because of injuries just around the league, what's the value of figuring out now kind of how many serviceable backups you have? And what do you think of Rypien and Bajent today?
Yeah, I mean, those are two good quarterbacks. You know, they can really operate, and they've played in games, and it's great to have that competition and have those guys in there. And they're great in the room. You know, I'm in that room a lot. And they're superb in that room in terms of, you know, supporting Caleb and talking through the offensive plays and what they see and how they see it, and it's invaluable to have, you know, Shane in there, of course, and Kerry, but those two quarterbacks are a big piece of that too.
Matt, with Rippon specifically, what did he show you tonight?
Just what I saw in practice. You know, he's been in this offense. You know, he knows the offense well. He's heard the verbiage. He understands the concepts, and you can see that. You know, he's definitely understands the space that needs to be occupied by the receivers and how they get open, and you could see that today. You know, he was throwing guys open.
And you had your first look at the new kickoff. What did you think in general? What did you think of your turnout?
I say kickoff team wins today, right? I mean, they had the ball in the 20 a couple times, maybe 26 a couple times. You know, so it was good by the cover teams. You know, I thought that the return team struggled a little bit staying on blocks, it looked like to me. I'll go back and look at the tape, but that's what I saw on the field.
Are you guys just cautious not to reveal too much about what you're going to do with that as you are with your offense and defensive scheme in preseason games?
I think it's both. You know, you're going to try to do that a little bit, but, man, we're trying to figure this thing out. You know, so, you know, it's like, you know, you have to figure it out. Like, hey, what is it going to look like? You know, so we've tried different things on the return team and different, way to attack on the cover team and putting different bodies in different spots. So we're really just trying to figure it out. And I think that's where all coaches are. We're just trying to figure it out and do the best thing we can. And that's going to be ongoing through the whole season because like anything else, you know, you see things that are starting to work. You'll see it more and more and more, and then people will catch up to it, and then you'll have to adjust.
That's the way the NFL is. Did Torrey not punting today, was that a function of you're going to see these guys in week two?
Yeah, we're going to see them the rest of the camp. You know, we're hopeful to see them, so we'll see.
The Texans in week two, I mean, is was he a healthy scratch, or was there's no injury? Or
yeah, there were several players that sat today. You know, it's
what was the setup for Caleb today? What did you guys have him do, and what did you want him to do or pay attention mm-hmm. to? Did you have any interactions with him during the game?
Yeah, so the setup for that once we got here was, you know, you guys know we toured the hall, and that was great to see those guys. And then the next day, we really spent the morning, you know, in walkthroughs. You know, it was a heavy walkthrough day today, you know, in terms of the guys not playing in the game. So we got a bunch of reps in there at the hotel. So that was really important to do that and really go through a game day function. You know, go through your first 15, go through the operation of that. What is the openers? And we did that. You know, had meeting and walkthrough with both offense, defense, and special teams, the guys that were not playing. And then, of course, we prepared the guys that were playing, too, with that same kind of operation. Once we got to the game, we wanted to do the pregame warm-up with all the guys that are playing, or the whole football team, so they got that operation down, so we would have to talk about that again. And so he went through the pregame, and then, you know, bringing him into the right before the game, talking to him about what he needs to know based on the information we give him as the quarterback. And that's information that's pertinent to locations on the field, what we're doing, when we're going for stuff, all those things that we talk about.
This is Matt Eberflus talking to the media after the game and addressing not only the players who played in the game tonight, but of course quarterback Caleb Williams as well, who didn't play in the game, but he did go through warmups. And of course the Bears did have a seemingly specific plan for what they wanted Caleb to do, to go through, to pay attention to. And I'm sure he was on top of all those aspects of his assignment for the evening. And I'll say this, I heard Dan and Lawrence earlier today talking about the amount of cutaways they were anticipating to go to Caleb throughout. I think there might have even been on the midday show on Bernstein and Holmes, there might have even been an over-under set, if I'm not mistaken, at like 10 or 10 and a half or something like that. I didn't catch the full version of the conversation, if they ended up putting something on it. You know, if there was something on the line, I don't know. The under might have hit. If it was 10 and a half, I mean, I don't know. You know, you got interviewed by Lisa Salters. How much of that ends up counting? You know, the camera cuts away from it, comes back to the interview. I'll let the guys figure that out. I'll actually be on with Bernstein and Holmes tomorrow at 11. So in, you know, approximately 12 hours from now, I'll be talking to Dan and Lawrence. But I'll see whether they feel the over or the under hit. I'm really not sure. I don't know what the official tally is. Ended up being on cutaway shots to Caleb during the game. But I felt like the booth did a nice job. I felt like they told the story of where the Bears have been and what sets up this season pretty well. Probably the one legit mistake that I kind of felt like got made throughout the evening was Joe Buck apparently not knowing who Torrey Taylor was. The first action for the Bears' Aussie punter, my fellow Hawkeye, he gets out there for the first time when he's going to hold on the, you know, this much ballyhooed kickoff here It wasn't the opening kickoff of the game, but in the midst of the game, it was maybe like the second or third kickoff of the game. Richard Hightower ends up deciding to just sort of display this new rule where you're going to be allowed to put a 12th player on the field in windy conditions, as opposed to losing someone on the coverage team. They're going to be allowed to have someone out there, you know, when usually we'd see someone have to come over from the kickoff coverage unit and come over and put their tiny little finger over the football. And you don't want to hold it too firm because you don't want to mess up the kicker when the wind keeps blowing the ball off over and over again. But you don't want to hold it too loose either, because the wind has been blowing the football off the tee repeatedly. So that person, you know, the football finger person, that's now usually going to be the backup punter, seemingly, for most of the teams, who can at least come out there and just do something. All right, you don't need to get in the way. You don't need to go try to make a tackle. You can just put your little finger on the football for the place kicker. They're going to kick it away, kick it into the go zone in between the goal line and the 20, and then you just go scurry off the field. Whatever you do, don't try to go make a tackle. Just put your little finger on the football and then go sit down somewhere. So that person, for the first time in NFL history, essentially, that extra person, the 12th man, that got to be Tory Taylor. But Joe Buck didn't seem ready for it. Taylor or somebody else. He thought the last name was a first name for some reason. That was like the one mistake I thought the broadcast made throughout the evening. Aside from that, what I watched of the television production, I thought was really sound. And they did a really effective job, in my opinion, of just sort of setting up where the Bears sit on the season, going into this season, the path that they've been on in leading towards this moment. I felt like it was really effective storytelling by Monday Night Football in setting the scene in the midst of a lot of the other event aspects of the evening, the Hall of Famers that we're going to address in a few minutes here and get into to some of that aspect of what's anticipated from the Bears greats, the legends that are there. But in addition to the Hall of Fame aspect of it and the Caleb Williams part of the story, but just on the whole, what the Bears have been getting to this point and the excitement that surrounds them, and even the interview that was there with Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles. And we'll play that for you a little bit later on in this hour as well. But I talked a little bit about Brett Rypien, and it seemed to me that Matt Eberflus, as he talked to the media after the game there, almost went out of his way to not shower Rypien himself specifically with too much praise. You know, like, he was asked specifically about Rypien, and, you know, the initial question, I believe it was by Patrick Finley, was, you know, talking about just the backup quarterback position in general. And, you know, Flus kind of, you know, just sort of painted the broad brush of both guys, both Brett Rypien and Tyson Bagent, looking like good quarterbacks. And when he was asked specifically about Brett Rypien, said that's who he was. That's who he's been. He's been that guy in practice the entire time. So he seemed very efficient. He seemed very aware, seemed very calm and comfortable and conscious of everything around him. Did Brett Rypien on the field. And, you know, Matt Eberflus seemed complimentary, but in a way didn't want to sort of go overboard with the fact that Brett Rypien did look like, you know, he pretty much looked like the best player on the field out there, but that's because the best players weren't actually on the field in the game. Now, Davis Mills looked really good against the Bears defense, as did Case Keenum. Like, for the most part, the offenses dominated this game. There wasn't a whole lot of defense being played out there, but Brett Rypien did look really good, and especially the pocket presence itself. When the pass rush was surrounding him, when guys are getting loose and getting home, he's climbing the pocket, he's keeping his eyes down the field, he's throwing the ball with accuracy, rhythm, timing. So it was nice to see that. So you hope that'll be something that continues and you show that type of efficiency and timing as a quarterback. And if you're seeing that from the position as a whole, then I would take that as evidence that it's being taught well. It's being called well by Shane Waldron. I'd say that's a positive sign just for the Bears offensive system as a whole, if you're seeing that from all the quarterbacks as a group, as a unit. So the other player, of course, who was one of the standouts in the game tonight was Colin Johnson. 3 catches, 56 yards, 2 touchdowns. And as deep as the wide receiver position is for the Bears here, they are in an interesting spot, in my opinion, because you have guys as wide receivers who, you know, they're not just barring injury, they're not going to play a lot. They're not going to get a lot of opportunities to make plays. So then what else can they do to get noticed? What else can they do to add value to this roster? So what happens in a position like Colin Johnson found himself in tonight? He makes plays in the preseason as a wide receiver. So now that opens up the eyes of the Bears coaches, and they had him on the practice squad last season. In the 3 years he'd been in the NFL prior to this, he's basically gotten less and less opportunities between two other NFL stops before joining up with the Chicago Bears last year after being a fifth-round pick to Jacksonville back in 2020. But each season he's gotten less and less regular season game action. And so now at 6'6", 220-plus, he's obviously this towering physical specimen as a wideout. It was great to see him using his humongous, ginormous frame to make plays against Houston's backups in a preseason game today. So credit to Brett Rypien for putting the ball in positions where Colin Johnson has a chance to go get it. There was a drop early in the game, the very first target that Colin Johnson got in the game. He dropped it on an absolute dime from Brett Rypien, but then he got more opportunities on contested balls to the outside, you know, and he went up and got him over and over again. Some passes that I'm sure Speaks is going to talk about on the afternoon show tomorrow. You know, he went up and got it multiple occasions here when Colin Johnson had the opportunity to do so. But those aren't the opportunities he's going to get in regular season games unless several guys get hurt. But what that does, what you saw in the game tonight from Colin Johnson, it does at least open the eyes of the Bears coaching staff to say he shows some playmaking ability, but they're not going to immediately thrust him into the actual wide receiver rotation when you've got DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze. And yes, you've got Tyler Scott and Velus Jones as a part of things as well. And then even Dante Pettis, who has made plays in the NFL as a wide receiver and as a return specialist. So what Colin Johnson is wrestling against, what he's climbing against, that current that he's swimming against right now is, what is his role on this team? Because right now, it's not as a playmaking wide receiver, not ahead of those other guys that I mentioned, but what it's going to turn into, though, is opportunities to show where else can you maybe be utilized. You know, we've seen very specialized wide receivers be used by Matt Eberflus and the coaching staff in recent years. Is Colin Johnson the type of guy that maybe gets an opportunity to be on the active roster or to dress because he shows he can be an impeccable blocker? Now, I know we have seen that on the Bears before. We have seen Equanimeous St. Brown for multiple seasons be the blocking receiver, and it was in the midst of a lineup that didn't have a lot of excellent pass-catching wide receivers. And so, you know, that wasn't necessarily something that you would get really excited about, is to have this blocking receiver dressing and playing in games. But can he be that? And can he do that at a really high level? Is there a special teams role? Probably not as a returner at 6'6", 225, but can that be an area where being big and physical and athletic, being aggressive and violent, can he be someone on the kick return unit, on the kick cover unit, on punt or punt return? Can he be someone who shows that perhaps as a core special teams player, there's a role for him there? Now that he's shown the playmaking ability at receiver, that opens up the opportunity, I believe, for Colin Johnson. At least he's now opened up the Bears coaching staff eyes in game. And so I would imagine this is where Richard Hightower, if he hasn't already begun doing it, there'll be some enhanced special teams opportunities for Colin Johnson. Again, not as a returner. There's going to be, you know, Velus and Dante and Tyler and others are likely to get those opportunities. But he certainly did enough tonight. You would imagine he's done enough on the practice field up to this point. He certainly showed some things last season if they wanted to bring him back for this year as well to say, all right, it's a big guy, big body, big frame. He's been around the league a little bit. He shows he can make some plays. He shows he can respond to the stage. All right, if he's got these physical tools now, he's got the wherewithal to get something done in game, where can he maybe fit? It's not likely to fit as a pass-catching wide receiver. We got too many. We got plenty of those. For the first time in Bears history, you got plenty of guys who can catch passes and make plays in game as wide receivers. Where does Colin Johnson fit into that mix on this squad? That's the question that the Bears coaching staff, as they're reviewing the film from tonight, they're like, all right, this guy that did some things here, where can we perhaps use him And that's one of those things they're going to have to figure out. And he certainly did enough tonight. And we'll see. You know, they'll find some extra opportunities for him to see how that might work out. And then who knows? Maybe one of these other guys who have shown they have the possibility of doing some other things, maybe he can start to sort of claw his way by some of the other guys in that wide receiver position group. The Hall of Famers who have represented the Bears over the years and who are going to be enshrined in Canton on Saturday. It got discussed a lot on the station throughout the day today. I was talking about Mullion Hall a bit earlier, and they had a fantastic lineup of guests on the show with them this morning. There will be more of those fantastic guests on the show with them tomorrow as well. Like I mentioned, Devin Hester will be joining Mullion Hall in the morning. That'll essentially be just a few hours from now where you'll hear Hall of Famer Devin Hester on with Mullion Hall. But some other great guests who were with them this morning previewing and talking about how they felt about the Hall of Famers who are being enshrined in Canton, representing the Bears, representing the Hall of Fame in general. There's a lot that we heard from them, and we'll discuss that, as that's what this weekend is about. Pro Football Hall of Fame weekend for all these great players, all the guys getting ready to get their gold jackets and have their busts unveiled in front of everyone on Saturday. There was a lot of that with Mullion Hall in Canton that was getting discussed this morning with Bears and media luminaries. We'll hear from some of them on the other side of this timeout. I'm Anthony Herron. You are listening to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
So many gold jackets being donned by former members of the Chicago Bears coming into this weekend. There will be three more former Bears donning gold jackets by the time we get to Saturday evening, as Steve Mongo McMichael, Devin Hester, and Julius Peppers all enter the Pro Football Hall of Fame as well. The Mullion Hall, they were in Canton, Ohio today. They'll be there again tomorrow, and they'll have the opportunity to continue discussing the Hall of Famers on their way into enshrinement in Canton, get their gold jackets, get those busts unveiled. Jared Payton's going to be out there repping not only the Payton family, but presenting Mongo for the Hall as well. But Mike Singletary, who was also on with Mullion Hall this morning, he was asked about a variety of things, not only about what's currently happening with the Bears Hall of Famers and his time as a member of that 85 Bears defense and his own Hall of Fame career. He was also, though, asked about the current state of the Chicago Bears, and it was really interesting to hear specifically his thoughts on the quarterback position, because it is a spot that Mike Singletary knows well. The Bears haven't had the most pristine, most prestigious of time at the quarterback position, but they got a guy now who everybody's really excited about, and we got to hear from Samurai Mike talking about the Bears rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams.
The thing that I want to see Caleb Williams do is get through training camp, get through the first half of the season, and let's see where he's at that particular time. Because right now everybody's expecting, hey, we're going to go to the playoffs. We're going to go to Super Bowl. And if he comes out and has half of the success that we're hoping that he has, it's going to be Chicago is going to be hot. So I'm just hoping that he can just go out there and stay healthy, make good decisions, and the game slow the game down, and just play the game. I'm hoping that he's not going to come out slinging the ball and hey, this is. Because that may not be the greatest idea. So I'm excited to – I'm hoping that you can find out what kind of running game the Bears have, what kind of tight ends they have, how good their offensive line is at the beginning of the season, and allow him to mature, allow him to grow. And, we'll see what happens.
So Mike Singletary is a lot older than me. But I swear, we speak the same football language, because that's what I hope for Caleb as well. He's going to get plenty of opportunities to throw for huge yards and a million touchdowns and all these other things. That's going to come. But in a season where the Bears are hopefully putting themselves in position to win games consistently and on the roster that's as enhanced in talent as we're all sitting here talking about on a consistent basis, then it doesn't need to be a situation where Caleb is being asked to throw for rookie passing records and have, you know, 45, 50 pass attempts in a game on a regular basis. That shouldn't be what this Bears offense is about. That shouldn't be what this Bears game plan is about. And I don't believe that it will be. And part of the reason why is because I don't think that's their best formula for winning. It might be the best formula to put up impressive numbers for Caleb, but I don't believe that the construct of this roster, of this offensive line, of this rookie quarterback, I'll believe it when I see it, that if you put the entire offense on the right shoulder of Caleb Williams, that that's the best path to victory for the Bears. But as I sit here on August 1st, that is not my belief. And Matt Eberflus, who's in a position where he needs to win games with this rookie QB, I believe Flus believes that as well. That's one other thing that Mike Singletary was asked about by Mullion Hall. His impressions of Matt Eberflus through two seasons and what he believes is important for Flus going into year three.
Matt Eberflus, just like many of the other head coaches around the league, got to win. And hopefully they've made enough improvements this offseason to win. I mean, you can be a smart guy, you can be a great guy, you can be an enthusiastic guy, whatever, but at the end of it, you better make sure you win. And I think for him, it is being able to have a rookie quarterback, and with all of the hoopla and everything else that comes with drafting your quarterback, the number one pick, making some of the things, the changes this offseason, hopefully it's enough. You know, the division all of a sudden after last year is a very competitive division. You got Green Bay coming alive again, the young quarterback there. You got Detroit that's making a lot of noise. And Minnesota, you know, I don't know what the kid's going to do there. But it's going to be interesting. But all of those teams can win week in, week out. So all of a sudden, the Central Division is hot.
Love they called it the Central Division. That's what it used to be. It used to be the NFC Central. Back when Mike was playing it, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were in that division with the Bears. Somehow it was the Bears, the Packers, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was the Central Division somehow, some way. It didn't make a whole lot of sense back then. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense at this point either. But before the NFL expanded, they divided the divisions up in different ways. Tampa Bay was in the same division with these folks. I don't remember what year it was when that changed, but it was definitely during my lifetime. And back when Mike Singletary was wrecking shop for the Bears, it was the Central Division, and Tampa Bay was in it somehow. I don't know. Geographically, it didn't line up as well as it does these days. But a Hall of Famer in his own right, Dan Pompey, was on with Mullion Hall this morning as well, and he's got such an incredible perspective on the Hall of Fame, on that process, because he's the guy in the room. He's in the room where it happens. He is the voice representing the potential Chicago Bears when their name comes up, when they get that potential call to the hall, when they're finalists. It's Dan Pompey who's presenting them to this room full of national media members and trying to get the vote to go their way. And so, you know, a lot of these Bears who've made the Hall of Fame of recent vintage, they have Dan Pompey to thank for the case that he's made on their behalf. One of the things that Mullion Hall asked Pompey about was who would be the next member. And, you know, the suggestions tend to veer a little bit more towards recent Bears. You know, they're the last Bears squad to make the Super Bowl, defensive guys, offensive guys. But Dan Pompey kind of reminded Mullion Hall there's an old head they shouldn't forget about in that mix, too.
I think, to me, the guy who I would say should be next is Jay Hildenberg. You know, I think he's a guy who kind of has been overlooked for a long time, in part because of the position that he played. You know, there's not a lot of centers in Canton. Reggie White once called him one of the best offensive linemen he ever faced. He's called him the best center he ever faced. And, you know, if you look at his record, I mean, he was a part of this incredible running game over a long period of time that was great even after Walter Payton retired. And, you know, he made All-Pro team after All-Pro team, Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl. He started in 7 Pro Bowls. He's got a sterling resume, and I think it's a crying shame that he's another guy we've never discussed as a Hall of Fame committee.
When you hear Dan Pompey reference that they've never discussed him, it's because there are levels to this. There's principalities involved. There's a process that the candidates go through before they eventually become finalists and have the opportunity to be enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And so as you kind of enter each individual phase, then you finally get to the point where these collective media members from all across the country are in the room and they're being presented by, you know, the likes of Dan Pompey, who know their individual careers that well. And eventually they come to sort of the final vote to determine who makes it into that particular Hall of Fame class. So they actually asked him, which I thought was a really informative answer that Dan Pompey gave. They asked specifically about the process of the Pro Football Hall of Fame inductions.
I mean, the process is that, you know, all the voters start out with this huge list. Matter of fact, we got a list yesterday via email for this year, Modern Era candidates this year. And, you know, it gets whittled down. There are a series of reduction votes. So you end up with a group of semifinalists that is usually 15 people. Sometimes it could be more if they're ties. And then those are the 15 that get discussed. So, you know, often at this juncture, you'll have different voices kind of lobbying for various candidates. And, you know, it's all done usually via email or phone calls or that kind of thing. But then, you know, there's an actual meeting for people who don't know right before the Super Bowl. It used to be in January. Now it's in February usually. Depending on, you know, timing, it still can be in January. But anyway, there's this meeting where you discuss the 15 candidates. And again, you have a reduction vote. It goes down to 10. Then it goes down to 5. And then there's usually seniors and coaching/contributor candidates in addition to those 5.
So just for this 2024 class, you go back to almost a year ago at this point, you go back to last September was the initial announcement of 173 modern era nominees that were announced last September 19th for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2024. So out of those 173 modern era nominees back last September, that eventually by the end of November got whittled down to 25 modern era players that were named as semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That was last November for this 2024 class as they were beginning to whittle it down at that point. And then from that group of 25 between then and the end of the year, there were 15 modern era players that were announced as finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2024. That was December 27th when that announcement was made. And then you got to Super Bowl week and NFL honors, and you had the Pro Football Hall of Fame class, the 7 members heading in for 2024. That announcement was made on February 8th. So, I mean, it's a process that goes on over months and months with a wide variety of voters and historians. And yes, it is a very contentious thing that takes place. People get understandably extremely emotional about it. In many cases, I've talked to a bunch of guys who have had to wait their turn extensively to finally get elected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, to get selected for it and eventually get enshrined. And when you're waiting and you're wanting, and you know, you feel like you've put the career together, a career that's worthy of Hall of Fame enshrinement, and what that would mean to these individuals, guys get very, very wrapped up in the emotion of it. And I understand why. And I, you know, had a variety of players in years past who I've been able to be around and talk to as they've been denied, you know, that access. It is an extremely difficult Hall of Fame to get into. And so when you finally get that call to the hall, you understand why the guys get get so pleased about it, so emotional about it, why it means so much at this point to Steve and Misty McMichael, to the McMichael family, all the friends, all the people who care about Mongo, for what he's meant to the sport and the opportunity that he's going to get. So tonight was, of course, the Hall of Fame game, the initial preseason game of the National Football League season, and with three members of the Chicago Bears on their way into the Hall, three former Bears, then Bears played in that game tonight. The game did not get completed, but didn't mean there weren't positives that took place. I've been talking about some of the positives that took place with the action on the field from some of the players who were out there doing their thing. There were also some positives, as we might see it, for some of the front office members, for this roster that's been put together, and some of the storylines that are out there. So then after the game got suspended, before it was officially canceled due to the lightning and the weather that hit in the area out there, we saw an opportunity for Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren to step into the Monday Night Football booth. I thought it was a good interview, and they asked the questions that Bears fans really like to hear about, and things that the national audience may not be as well versed about as it relates to the Bears. Take a time out. We'll come back, and we'll hear the interview that was done on ABC and ESPN with the president of the Chicago Bears and the general manager of the Chicago Bears in the Monday Night Football booth with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. We'll do that next on The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herrick on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Well, the way the game ended wasn't exactly as was anticipated, but it did come to a close. There were no major injuries that we're aware of at the moment. Bears end up completing a game with a lead. I don't know if we're considering it a win yet, but 21-17 was the final score. Bears over Texans. But before we knew it was the final score, when it was just in the midst of a weather delay on Monday Night Football, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were joined in the broadcast booth during the initial delay by Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles. The Bears took the opportunity to put some of their brass in the booth, and they answered some of the questions that the national audience may not have been that familiar with.
Nice enough on this rainy, stormy night in Canton to come over and join us. Kevin Warren, who is the president and CEO of the Chicago Bears, and Ryan Poles, who you should be doing victory laps with the job that you've done with this roster. Kevin, I'll start with you. You've got a big project ahead of you, and I guess the main question that everybody wants to hear an answer to is, where is the stadium project, and how do you handicap where that stadium will be as we sit here in the summer of 24?
It's exactly where I thought we would be at this point in time. These are massive projects. We're working hand in hand with our consultants and internally, doing a lot of design, construction, and still we work on a daily basis on it. So the goal is still to be in the ground, moving dirt in 2025, hopefully open in 2028, and have a great new home for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and have we, as we say all that, have we settled on downtown, or is it Arlington, or we don't know that yet?
Yeah, well, the focus is the museum campus downtown. I still think that's the most beautiful piece of property in the country, where Lake meets architecture in downtown. We are the largest landowner in Arlington Heights. We own 326 acres, so that still, you know, is an opportunity because we do own the land. But our focus right now is to do everything we can on the lakefront.
And they bring you in, the Bears do, wisely, because the job that you did and the Wilf family did in Minnesota, that stadium is wonderful. And you've been up against this before.
Yes.
So you have the experience of getting a stadium done.
100%. I mean, U.S. Bank Stadium is still a phenomenal stadium. We've been here before. A lot of credit goes to the McCaskey family. They've given Ryan and I the support, and Coach Eberflus, to do what we need to get done. So we're excited about where we are, and we're focused, and we're going to keep working hard.
As you look at this team, and we'll transition to Ryan, but you got to be awfully proud with all the business that we talk about. You got to be awfully proud of the team that you guys are going to field in 2024.
I mean, exactly. I mean, work hand-in-hand with Ryan and Coach Eberflus.
Yeah.
And George McCaskey. The key for us is to continually build our brand, build an organization that has long-term stability, build our fan avidity, work hard. We have the best fans in the NFL, and I'm excited to continually work together to pull that together to make sure Chicago is special.
Ryan, we go to you, and we've been talking about it on the broadcast here tonight and the job that you've done since taking over as general manager and taking a roster and really building it in a short period of time. obviously the trade last year setting that all up, but a little luck goes a long way as well, the way that it all happened and kind of fell into your lap and you get a guy like Caleb Williams. But just talk about how you've been able to build this team over the last few years.
Yeah, it's taken some patience early on, and really I got to give credit to my staff. It's not just me, it's the whole group doing a really good job scouting, looking at different opportunities, again, to bring talent to Chicago so that we can win championships here. And to give Caleb a rookie quarterback weapons around him to feel comfortable to gain that confidence fast, that's a big deal, as you know.
He's got him. He's got him. You've done a good job.
So we just want to get him settled in early so he make plays. And really, the thing is, lean on the guys around him. You don't have to do everything immediately. So there's enough talent around him for us to get started and win some football games.
And it's got to be exciting for you as a general manager now in your third year to have the core really set up now for the next 4 years or so. You've got Caleb, obviously. Darnell Wright, your tackle. Adunze, number 9 overall pick. DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And now that you have Caleb in the building, what do you see? Because I tell you, from the production meetings and just the interactions we've had with him, he seems like the kind of guy that can handle the pressure that Chicago and the Bears would put on him.
Yeah, and he's had a lot of pressure on him early on, just being a big-time recruit coming out of high school and then elevating his game in college and being the first overall pick. But the one thing I love about him, he's very comfortable in his own skin. He's confident in his talent, and he believes in himself, and he brings people together, which fits our culture right now. We have a great locker room. The guys have fun. They compete in practice every single day, and they love each other. They spend time with each other, and that's a big deal to us.
I thought it was the right questions to ask. They didn't seem, you know, out of town, stupid, not asking about things that anybody cared about or just focusing on Caleb the entire time. He had a bunch of stadium talk, roster building talk, and Caleb talk, of course. I thought that was well handled by Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. It's why they're one of the best combos in the business. There's no doubt about that. So this was the first preseason foray for the NFL, certainly for the Bears. 3 more preseason games to go. I'm actually going to be able to be on television doing some pregame before their next few preseason games. I'll be on Fox 32 when they're in Buffalo next week and when they face Cincinnati the following week and when they're at Kansas City in the final preseason game. So I'm looking forward to actually being able to be on the air before Caleb Williams is expected to take the field in the remaining preseason games. That'll be something to look forward to. I also want to take a quick moment to shout out because the Cubs had a really fun game tonight. I know many of you were listening to it right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Quite a dramatic comeback walk-off win with Mike Tauchman doing Mike Tauchman things. So the Cubs were able to take down the Cards 5-4. And Elise Menneker pulling double duty. Not only was she there on the Marquee Sports Network doing her thing there, and then she hosted not only Cubs pregame beforehand, but then Cubs postgame here on The Score as well. So no surprise, fantastic work by Elise there. I hope she's somewhere getting some sleep right now because I'm sure it has been well earned. Just like my well-earned slumber, I'm getting ready to get into. You hear me tomorrow at 11 a.m. I'll be on with Bernstein and Holmes. I'll be back here tomorrow night as well. I'll be able to get into more detail on the preseason game and on this Hall of Fame class. Looking forward to that show. I'll be on from 6 to 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Lots to get into then. I'll be back on Saturday as well. Appreciations and salutations for all of you listening in. Also, shout out to my guy Tyler Butterball on the ones and twos. I'm Anthony Herron. This is The Score.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Well, the way the game ended wasn't exactly as was anticipated, but it did come to a close. There were no major injuries that we're aware of at the moment. Bears end up completing a game with a lead. I don't know if we're considering it a win yet, but 21-17 was the final score. Bears over Texans. But before we knew it was the final score, when it was just in the midst of a weather delay on Monday Night Football, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were joined in the broadcast booth during the initial delay by Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles. The Bears took the opportunity to put some of their brass in the booth, and they answered some of the questions that the national audience may not have been that familiar with.
Nice enough on this rainy, stormy night in Canton to come over and join us. Kevin Warren, who is the president and CEO of the Chicago Bears, and Ryan Poles, who you should be doing victory laps with the job that you've done with this roster. Kevin, I'll start with you. You've got a big project ahead of you, and I guess the main question that everybody wants to hear an answer to is, where is the stadium project, and how do you handicap where that stadium will be as we sit here in the summer of 24?
It's exactly where I thought we would be at this point in time. These are massive projects. We're working hand in hand with our consultants and internally, doing a lot of design, construction, and still we work on a daily basis on it. So the goal is still to be in the ground, moving dirt in 2025, hopefully open in 2028, and have a great new home for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and have we, as we say all that, have we settled on downtown, or is it Arlington, or we don't know that yet?
Yeah, well, the focus is the museum campus downtown. I still think that's the most beautiful piece of property in the country, where lake meets architecture in downtown. We are the largest landowner in Arlington Heights. We own 326 acres, so that still, you know, is an opportunity because we do own the land. But our focus right now is to do everything we can on the lakefront.
And they bring you in, the Bears do wisely, because the job that you did and the Wilf family did in Minnesota, that stadium is wonderful. And you've been up against this before.
Yes.
So you have the experience of getting a stadium done.
100%. I mean, U.S. Bank Stadium is still a phenomenal stadium. We've been here before. A lot of credit goes to the McCaskey family. They've given Ryan and I the support, and Coach Eberflus, to do what we need to get done. So we're excited about where we are, and we're focused, and we're going to keep working hard.
As you look at this team, and we'll transition to Ryan, but you got to be awfully proud with all the business that we talk about. You got to be awfully proud of the team that you guys are going to field in 2024.
I mean, exactly. I mean, work hand in hand with Ryan and Coach Eberflus.
Yeah.
And George McCaskey. The key for us is to continually build our brand, build an organization that has long-term stability, build our fan avidity, work hard. We have the best fans in the NFL, and I'm excited to continually work together to pull that together to make sure Chicago is special.
Ryan, we go to you, and we've been talking about it on the broadcast here tonight and the job that you've done since taking over as general manager and taking a roster and really building it in a short period of time. Obviously, the trade last year setting that all up, but a little luck goes a long way as well, the way it all happened and kind of fell into your lap, and you get a guy like Caleb Williams. But just talk about how you've been able to build this team over the last few years.
Yeah, it's taken some patience early on, and really I got to give credit to my staff. It's not just me. It's the whole group doing a really good job scouting, looking at different opportunities, again, to bring talent to Chicago so that we can win championships here. And to give Caleb, a rookie quarterback, weapons around him to feel comfortable to gain that confidence fast, that's a big deal, as you know.
He's got him. He's got him. You've done a good job.
So we just want to get him settled in early so he make plays. And really, the thing is, lean on the guys around him. You don't have to do everything immediately. So there's enough talent around him for us to get started and win some football games.
And it's got to be exciting for you as a general manager now in your third year to have the core really set up now for the next 4 years or so. You've got Caleb, obviously, Darnell Wright, your tackle, Adunze, number 9 overall pick, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And now that you have Caleb in the building, what do you see? Because I tell you, from the production meetings and just the interactions we've had with him, he seems like the kind of guy that can handle the pressure that Chicago and the Bears would put on him.
Yeah, and he's had a lot of pressure on him early on, just being a big-time recruit coming out of high school and then elevating his game in college and being the first overall pick. But the one thing I love about him, he's very comfortable in his own skin. He's confident in his talent. And he believes in himself, and he brings people together, which fits our culture right now. We have a great locker room. The guys have fun. They compete in practice every single day, and they love each other. They spend time with each other, and that's a big deal to us.
I thought it was the right questions to ask. They didn't seem, you know, out of town, stupid, not asking about things that anybody cared about or just focusing on Caleb the entire time. He had a bunch of stadium talk, roster building talk, and Caleb talk, of course. So I thought that was well handled by Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. It's why they're one of the best combos in the business. There's no doubt about that. So this was the first preseason foray for the NFL, certainly for the Bears. Three more preseason games to go. I'm actually going to be able to be on television doing some pregame before their next few preseason games. I'll be on Fox 32 when they're in Buffalo next week and when they face Cincinnati the following week and when they're at Kansas City in the final preseason game. So I'm looking forward to actually being able to be on the air before Caleb Williams is expected to take the field in the remaining preseason games. That'll be something to look forward to. I also want to take a quick moment to shout out because the Cubs had a really fun game tonight. I know many of you were listening to it right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Quite a dramatic comeback walk-off win with Mike Tauchman doing Mike Tauchman things. So the Cubs were able to take down the Cards 5-4. And Elise Menneker pulling double duty. Not only was she there on the Marquee Sports Network doing her thing there, and then she hosted not only Cubs pregame beforehand, but then Cubs postgame here on The Score as well. So no surprise, fantastic work by Elise there. I hope she's somewhere getting some sleep right now because I'm sure it has been well earned. Just like my well-earned slumber, I'm getting ready to get into. You hear me tomorrow at 11 a.m. I'll be on with Bernstein and Holmes. I'll be back here tomorrow night as well. I'll be able to get into more detail on the preseason game and on this Hall of Fame class. Looking forward to that show. I'll be on from 6 to 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Lots to get into then. I'll be back on Saturday as well. Appreciations and salutations for all of you listening in. Also, shout out to my guy Tyler Butterball on the ones and twos. I'm Anthony Herron. This is The Score.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Caleb. The Bears.